The code for this podcast is SSBT029. This podcast is from a series titled How to Measure Your Spirit. The section is about your spiritual survival needs, and the segment covered is prayer. This is discussion number 29 of 42, and covers the scripture reference of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verses 26 to 28. Please note that the first 3 or so minutes of this podcast are a reminder of how this all works. Skip past this only if Holy Spirit leads you to. Enjoy Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome. We are covering a series of scriptures from the Bible, and this is covering how to measure your spirit, your emotions, and your earth suit. There are many scriptures that you will be able to go through. You can either do that in groups, just looking at the scriptures and speaking to the Holy Spirit. Or if you would like, you're welcome to listen to the podcasts. And those are also available. If you feel like you would like to support this work, please will you just ask Holy Spirit who it is around you that needs to be blessed. I have discovered that the Lord will provide for me. So bless other people. Bless and encourage and help and strengthen other people. So if you're following along with us in the handbook, you can download that from multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. You'll see the handbook towards the top. There's also an Excel calculator there, so you could also use that if you wanted to. You'll be able to go to the different podcasts from there. They're on different pages. You just need to look a little further down the web page. You will see the links to those things, how to measure your spirit, how to measure your emotions, how to measure your earth. Remember that as you listen, make the keywords in the second column, and the scoring needs to be done based on your conversation with Holy Spirit, where He says to you, yeah, you've got some work to do on this one, or no, you're fine. If you're fine, then it's a 0. If you're not fine, then you mark it as a -1. And that is you giving the Holy Spirit permission to make changes in your life as far as those things are concerned.
And you can't measure it against anyone else, because everybody's on a specific journey with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got his own agenda about how He is raising each and every one of us. So you can never compare, which means that you can also never judge the other person, right? But you can, and you should be loving each other along that journey. And that'll give you an indication of how strong you are. Nothing to boast about, because even if you get one that you're not great at the moment, it just means that God's growing you, right? It's good to have things that you have to fix and grow into and things like that, so that's not a bad thing. And again, you can never compare with anyone else.
Please remember that everything on the sites and all of these messages are free. So don't charge for them, please, if you're forwarding them on. Almighty Father, we just pray that you open our eyes, please, and teach us what it is that you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. So this morning we're reading from Matthew 26, verse 26 to 28. And we're still on the spiritual survival element of prayer. And just like you need air and water to survive physically, there's certain things that you need spiritually to survive. And if you've not been born again, you just simply are not alive. Your spirit's not alive. But once you've got that, then there are a few things that you need to get right pretty quickly. And one of them is prayer. And so we've been covering a number of scriptures. And the way this works is that you measure your spirit in conversation with the Holy Spirit. So you can't compare yourself to other people. It doesn't work like that. Because everyone's on a different journey. It's like Jesus is in the center and everyone's around and everyone's heading towards the center. If you go the same way somebody else is going, you'll wind up missing Jesus, right? So it's about your journey with God, and His Holy Spirit will lead you. So there's a handbook that you can download that gives you an insight on how to measure your spirit. And then it's also got scripture references, which are hyperlinked to the Old King James version of the Bible. I know it's a very difficult version to get your hands on, but it's hyperlinked. And it's allowed to be copied because it was written in 1611 and the copyright has expired, so it's free to do that. There's nothing wrong with it. And we're reading the 29th scripture, and that is Matthew 26, 26 to 28. So the topic is prayer, right? And we've already seen there's so many different aspects and dimensions to pray and ways to pray and things like that. And this is a this is another one. And it's a very precious one, because often prayer, as we've seen in the past, there's prayer that involves action, there's prayer involved your words, there's prayer, it's prayer that involves not your words, and prayer involves songs, there's prayer involved, and so many different kinds of aspects to prayer. But one of them that's really important is when you connect with Jesus spiritually, as well as with your brother and sister in Christ spiritually. And we know all of us are actually asexual spirits. Spirits don't have male and female organs, so you'll never see a female-shaped spirit. You know, that's not from the Lord, because they simply are, they can shapeshift into anything, but if you saw them in their natural, they just simply don't have any sexual organs. Because they don't procreate, they're eternal, right? Anyway, so how do you connect with Jesus in this way? Well, as a spirit, you are eternal. As soon as God creates you or recreates you as a new creature, you're created eternal. You are eternal, which means that time doesn't exist for your spirit. Time exists for the physical realm. It doesn't exist for the spiritual realm. So because it doesn't exist there at all, you can operate both in history as well as in the future through prayer. You can connect in both sides. Now, it's not about leaving your body. You just simply, you're in your body. You can connect anywhere with anyone. And you can pray for somebody who is in Australia. And spiritually, you're connected, irrespective of distance. Provided you have forgiven everyone, it's instant and effective. But the timing of any results will always belong to the Lord. So you can't try and force something. You cannot manipulate anything. The minute your heart is not right towards loving and kindness and all that towards somebody, it simply, it just fails to work. So it has to be completely unselfish, caring, compassionate, kind, patient, gentle. It needs to be all of the fruit of the Spirit. And then God will make it happen at exactly the right moment, because He has to arrange a lot of different things to make something happen, right? He's not going to just simply move something and a whole bunch of other people are going to be affected negatively. And the other nice thing about it is that your prayer was heard before Jesus even said, "Let there be light." Well, before God said, "Let there be light," and Jesus was the actual action of the word making sure that light happened, right? So, which is really cool. That's really, really cool. It's why AI doesn't stand a chance against a Christian, because God heard the prayer, the Christian prayer, created long before AI even existed, and God's really made a plan to resolve that issue despite what AI will do, because God already knows what the AI will do and has already thwarted that. So we Christians have nothing to fear from AI whatsoever. As with Satan or anybody else, we have nothing to fear. Satanists actually have come to realize that they can't do anything to Christians either, so, yeah. In fact, so many Satanists, after a short while, they envy the Christians. Satanists are terrified of stepping away from Satan, and they shouldn't be. He can't actually hurt them. You know, if they give their heart to Jesus, they're safe. Yeah, sure. You know, you can go. Your earth suits can go through challenges, but God's always got you. And you can't, if you belong to Him, you cannot leave this planet before God says so, right? So, getting back to Matthew 26, verse 26 to 28, how do you connect in this supernatural way in prayer with all of your Christian brothers and sisters? Not just in today's time, but how do you connect with them across all time, past and future, with Jesus at the center? How do you do that connection? Right? In other words, how does the body of Christ actually get knitted and glued together? It's through this particular prayer. Okay, this particular prayer requires an action. It requires faith. It requires trust and belief. And so I'm going to read it to you. A lot of you will recognize it. And every time that you do this, you need to remember what's really going on here. Jesus is having his last supper with his disciples. He knows that the next day he's going to be crucified, and that crucifixion will pay for the debt that is owed by mankind to Satan. And then Satan will have to release everyone that turns to Jesus. He has no choice. That Jesus has bought and paid for them with his blood. So of course he will lie to people and say that they can't possibly ask Jesus into their life. And that's a lie. Anyone can ask Jesus into their life. Of course, they've got to mean it, and they have to forgive everyone. Otherwise, that doesn't work. Anyway, here we go. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed, and broke, and gave to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, there's bread, physical bread, that's broken. But Jesus says, "Take, eat, my body." So was his body made of bread? No, it wasn't. You see, there's something called transmutation. You can transpose anything into anything in the spiritual realm. I can take an object and I can transpose it in the spiritual realm to something. I can apply something from the spiritual realm into a physical object or onto a physical object. And then it becomes a combined spiritual element. It's why you shouldn't really accept certain things that are given to you. If you feel uncomfortable about something, get rid of it. If it's in your house and you just something about you is bothering you, get rid of it, because you're picking up something spiritual that somebody connected to that object. Okay? So that's transmutation, and it's all throughout the Bible. You'll find many, many, many examples of that. So Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body." He then places that and he says, "This is my body." It's not the bread. It's what you're associating it with. You're associating it with the fact that he paid with his body for you to live. So for you to live physically in your earth suit, Jesus paid with his body. Okay? So everything in the physical realm was paid for. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, drink ye all of it. In other words, you need to all drink from it, right? For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So, he didn't say it's shed for all. Note, some doctrines, some churches say, oh no, Jesus died for all. He didn't say that. It's shed for many. It's shed for those who will turn to him. It's shed for those who will submit themselves to him. It's shed for those who will actually support Jesus' cause by reaching out and saving and reaching the lost and encouraging, etc. If you don't support Jesus' cause, you can't call yourself a Christian, because that's not what you are. There are many pastors that are coming out eventually and starting to say, well, I don't really believe in Jesus. Because they became a pastor because they thought it was lucrative, or they thought it was a nice idea, or they were very kind and they just wanted to help people and things like that. But they never really believed. And more and more, people are becoming what they are inside. Right? For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So the body was broken for our physical continuance while we have a spirit here. Right? We are paid for. We bought and paid for. Even though we're living physically in this body, we are bought and paid for. We have God's stamp on us. Satan is not allowed to do anything to you that you don't ask him to do. That might sound a bit stupid. But if I say, I'm dying for a cup of coffee. Every time you say the word dying, you're cursing yourself. Jesus is struggling with that. Satan is loving it. Don't speak negative of yourself or anybody else. Speak life, speak joy, speak kindness, speak goodness, mercy, peace, and all of the goodness that God has. For this is my blood of the New Testament, your spirit. So the same way as your body, his body was broken for you, his blood paid for you to be able to be born again. His blood created the opportunity for you to be a reborn spirit. Because with his blood, he bought and paid for your spirit to be with him forever. And at that point, when you give your heart to Jesus, he actually raises your spirit as a new creation. He rebuilds it as a nine-dimensional entity. You know, you kind of die as a four-dimensional entity, but you're raised as a nine-dimensional entity. And so many people have no idea how to work with those other dimensions, but you read the Bible enough, you'll discover so many keys in it. And I believe that's a journey that you have to have personally with the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you should try and, oh, I'd like to know them so I can use them. No, it doesn't work like that. You need to understand and know Jesus, and he will reveal these things through his Holy Spirit to you at the right time when you're mature enough. That was Satan and Satan's attack on Adam and Eve. He gave them a power that they were not mature enough to deal with. You don't give a two-year-old a chainsaw that's running. He's going to destroy himself and everything else, and that's exactly what Satan did. Sooner or later, we were to mature to the point whereby we would be able to know good and evil and work with it. Satan gave that early, and that was part of the mistake. And it destroyed so much of it. Anyway, so let me read that again. So this is a prayer. It's an active prayer. And when you close your eyes and you take the bread, what I like to do is, everyone has their own way of doing this, but this is what I like to do. I like to take the bread and I like to chew it, and I keep it in my mouth. And we do this together as a church, right? And by the way, when you do this, you're doing it together with everybody in the past history, no matter where they were. They could have been in the middle of a war, having a war-torn area in the 1600s, taking communion, or they could have been, you know, right back to, the early disciples, or it could have been, you know, somebody just yesterday. You're all connected through this one thing. It's like one moment where every single person across time that takes communion is instantly connected. Now, if you have not forgiven everybody, you actually don't get connected. It's like a false connection. It actually doesn't happen. It's just like, well, I had the bread, I had the drink, but you know what? Nothing happened. It meant nothing. But when you truly close your eyes and you know that you're doing this with every one of your brothers and sisters, not just for your own church organization, not just in your own room, you're doing it with everybody. And that's how the body of Christ connects. So let me read that again. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke and gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Finally, it's very interesting that at Passover, there's one particular cup that is not drunk from. And yet that's the cup that Jesus takes, and he says, that's why he took the cup. It wasn't just a cup. He took the cup that nobody drinks from. And he blesses it, and he gives it to them and says, "Drink." Because this was the moment when things were changing. So I pray that you celebrate communion as a family, or as a group, or with friends, and that you do it regularly. You know, you don't have to be in a church setting to be having communion. Jesus said, do this. Every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So he wasn't saying you have to be in the right place at the right time to do this. Not a chance. The minute you close your eyes, you can have any kind of bread. And actually, you can have pretty much any kind of drink. It was wine in those days. But some people need to, for different reasons, not have alcoholic drinks. And so for them, whatever it is, because it's what you're doing in your heart. It's what you're doing with your faith. You're saying, "Lord, I believe that this is your blood. I know spiritually that this is your blood. And I'm drinking of that to connect myself into you." You know, every cell in your body has some element of the body and some element of the liquid actually in it. And that's how we are. We're each one cell in this body. And we pass through, we connect. So I pray that you truly are blessed. Have a fantastic and beautiful day. God bless, guys. Bye.